Well, today I'm going to speak to you about something that this is kind of the Thanksgiving weekend. I thought Pastor John was going to preach my message again. He does that. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit talks to multiple people at the same time. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever come to church and when I say what I'm preaching on, suddenly you think, well, I was reading that this week or I thought that this week. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. The same Holy Spirit that speaks to me speaks to you. And if you'll listen, you'll find out most of what I'm going to say is already being said to you. And if I listen right. And so that's what I'm praying happen this week, that the Holy Spirit's going to just remind you of some stuff this week. So before we begin, let's just pray, jump right into the Word. Lord, thank you for the holiday season. Thank you that we get to celebrate your birth this Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that we got to spend time with family and friends and those holidays that we so care about and that we enjoy. I thank you that you allowed us to celebrate right here in the United States. I bless you for this weekend. I thank you, Father, for those who made it this week. I thank you for the guests that are here. I pray a blessing on them and their families. I pray you to anoint the word right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember when you were a child and your mother or father had you do something and you said, why? And they finally said, because I said so? Yeah. How many of you remember that? Now, how many of you have said that to your own kids? Yeah. We've all said that. And why do we say that? Because we don't have time to tell them all the facts or because we don't know. It's one of the two. We don't have time to give you all the facts or we do not know. And so because I said so is as good of an answer as you'll find for a lot of questions that kids ask. Now, some of you said that so much that it came out sounding Japanese. Because I said so. It just kind of happened over and over and over in your world. You've said it so much that you've suddenly started speaking Japanese. The reason that we often said that is because it was just, it caught you by surprise and you just got frustrated. Well, sometimes because I said so is the right answer, and even in the Word of God. Did you know that the most repeated command in the Bible isn't a command that has us not doing something. It actually has us doing something. It's not a command that we're not to do this, you know, it's not about sex, money, or power. It'll probably surprise you, but the most repeated command in the Bible has to do with being thankful or being happy or rejoicing or giving thanks. And it's in there over 140 times in the Bible. We are to be thankful. We are to be grateful. We are not to be afraid. We're to praise the Lord. It's in there so many times. And why is it in there so many times? Because God wants you to know it's important. It's important in your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Of all the things that God has said, the one he values the most is the one that he repeats the most, I believe. He repeats important things. God knows that the moment we give thanks is the moment that we stop becoming selfish or greedy. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to be selfish and greedy when you're thanking somebody? Thank you, is that it? Thank you, is that all you have? Thank you. We often say thank you, but you have to have the right attitude when you're saying it. So we're going to look at what the Scripture has to say about this. Matter of fact, thankfulness is so important that in Psalms 100, you hear that familiar verse so often that you realize that God even had something to say about thankfulness when it came to us entering into his very presence. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. It was that important that he wanted us to be grateful and thankful when we come into his presence. I'm not convinced you can come into his presence without being thankful and without being grateful. You certainly can't barge in and say, all right, God, we got something to talk about. Let's get to it. I don't think you're going to get through the door. I think you have to come in with a humble heart and you have to come in and be thankful. The implication is that if you're going to come into God's presence at all, you're going to have to come in with a thankful and a grateful attitude. But perhaps the most and the best example of thanksgiving is found in Luke, the 17th chapter. So let's look at this. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is a familiar passage to some, rather obscure to others, but you may have heard this before. And this is how it reads, and then we'll talk about it. Starting at verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Now let me give you some observations from that before we move on. First, Jesus stopped what he was doing to heal these lepers. Jesus was on his way somewhere else. Did you know that at that moment, Jesus was actually on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die for the sins of the world? He was actually going to do what he came to the earth to accomplish. That was where he was on his way. But even in that moment, that most important moment on that journey, he still took time to stop and minister to the people that cried out his name. I find that fascinating because he was stopping to minister to the lowest of the low. These were the people who were abandoned, forgotten, living without hope. When you were a leper in that day, it was severe. It put you in a class of humanity that couldn't get much lower. When you received leprosy in your body, when you were infected with leprosy, it was one of those things, there was no cure at the time, and your body just began to rot off of you. It was such a severe thing that it was so contagious that you suddenly had to leave your family. You had to live outside the city walls. And on top of that, you couldn't see your family. You couldn't be around your family. They lived in these colonies of people, and they were, it was just a terrible existence. And then on top of all that, they by law had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," every time somebody came near them. Can you imagine the horrible life that would be? You were already feeling ill. You were already starting to lose joints, fingers, legs, your arms, your nose, your ears. You were suddenly becoming a monster right in front of people. And on top of all of that, you had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." You couldn't have a hug. You couldn't do all the things that you had so loved about life. It was the most severe walking death that you can imagine. Just terrible existence. A terrible existence. And it was with a group of men like this on this particular day that Jesus stopped long enough to heal them. Don't you just love Jesus? Don't you just love the way that he loves us? Don't you just love how he takes care of us? He will stop what he's doing. He will stop right in the middle of his plans to come and minister to you. Something else I learned about this is that misery loves company. You see, these lepers were right there on the border of Galilee and Samaria. So they were Galileans, and there was at least one who was a Samaritan. The Galileans and the Samaritans did not get along. There was racial tensions among them. The Samaritan would have been considered a second-class citizen to the Galileans. And yet, when they all wound up with leprosy, suddenly they were all a group of people. They had something in common. They were kind of in the foxhole together. Misery truly loves company, doesn't it? When you get bad enough, when you're in bad enough shape, you will look for somebody else that's like you. You know, some of the most sharing people that you will find are people who are homeless. Some of these homeless places that I have been, I have found that some of these people who are homeless, they don't have much. They are willing to share the little that they have with each other. It's amazing how you see that so much time and time again, even in the world that we're living in right now, in 2019, when we tend to have so much, you will still find people who have very little, but they're willing to share. I think these lepers found themselves in that same place, even though they all were suffering from the same thing. Suddenly, it didn't matter what color the skin was. Suddenly, it didn't matter what your heritage was, what your ancestry was. Suddenly, it didn't matter. 23andMe didn't matter to those guys. They just simply all were gathered together, agreeing that we are all in the boat together and we need help. Something else I noticed was that the lepers got Jesus' attention. Yeah, see, it's possible, I believe, and I believe it happened more times than not, that Jesus walked by a group of lepers and didn't stop. Because Jesus didn't heal everybody he came in contact with. He healed people who came to him. Sometimes he went to them, sometimes they came to him and he healed them. But he was around hundreds and thousands of people, and so he was all over the place. He was willing to, he was able to, but sometimes for whatever the reason, Jesus was going somewhere and somebody with sickness could have been off in the distance. He could have gone by leper colonies before, but on this particular day, they were hollering out, instead of hollering out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," they said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Let me ask you something. When you're going through something in your life, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Is it, "Jesus, have mercy on me," or do you simply start complaining, or do you simply start telling everybody what the problem is? You know, I've got issues, I've got problems. I was raised wrong. I have this going on. I don't have enough money for this. And we complain so much about what we don't have or what's happening negative in our life that we refuse to call out to God and say, "God, have mercy on me." Because you see, God is willing not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants you to come to him. Call on the name of the Lord while he may be found, Scripture tells us. They got his attention. Instead of saying, "I'm broken, I'm useless," they said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And then it says that Jesus spoke healing to them. Now, it didn't sound like this. Jesus didn't say, "Be healed in my name." He didn't. All he simply said to them was, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, that's how lepers were officially healed. You weren't healed until the priest said you were healed. So here the Galileans, who were Jewish, and this Samaritan, who was kind of a mixed breed, they had a choice at that moment. They had a choice to either do what Jesus said or stand there and talk to each other and say, "That's it." He just simply said, "Go show ourselves to the priest." Why would we do that? We still have leprosy. Somewhere along the way, they had to step out on faith and start going. I think it was Oral Roberts years ago that came up with this term, "wenting." I love this term. He said, these people, it says they were healed as they went. And so sometimes in your life, when somebody prays for you and you don't get healed immediately, you just have to accept that God is still able to work in the situation as you go, as you're going on your way, as you went. How many of you have ever been healed later? They don't always happen immediately. That's why I don't question God's power when I pray for somebody and they don't instantly get healed. I don't have to see it happen instantly every time, because God is big enough to work now and later as you went. So their faith came into existence. They had to step out in faith to receive it. And then it says that only one man returned to thank Jesus. But Jesus took notice of this one man, and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, some theologians believe that the difference between what this man received and what the other nine received was that the other nine received healing, but they didn't receive wholeness. I don't know if I can go down that path completely, but I believe it was fascinating word study to look and see that the one man who came back and gave thanks to God received something that the other nine didn't. You see, every one of the other nine probably had excuses. Why did they not return? Here's nine possible reasons somebody wrote about this. They said one of them might have waited to see if the cure was real. One of them waited to see if it would last. One said he'd see Jesus later. I'll get to him later and thank him. Or one might have decided, well, you know, this was all a bad dream. I really never had leprosy after all. One may have said that he'd gotten well anyway. Just given enough time, he would have gotten well. One may have gone to the priest, and when he showed himself to the priest, said, thank you. Thank you for healing me, and he gave the glory to the priest. Or one may have said, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One might have said, well, any rabbi could have done it. And one might have said, I was already much improved. You see, you can always come up with an excuse why you don't have to thank somebody. Most of the time, our excuses really are, it's just not convenient. Or I'll thank them next time I see them, or when I get around to it. But thanking God doesn't have to be something you delay to do. Thanking God is something that you do immediately. Why shouldn't we thank God immediately when God blesses us? I got thinking about this morning as I was getting ready, and I realized that somewhere along the way, we quit having testimony services in church. This happened years ago. Churches would come together and they would have testimony time. Now, maybe it became something that we quit doing as often because it became a little awkward. Because sometimes people would testify about things that weren't necessarily theologically sound, or they got kind of crazy in the process or whatever. And we preachers just got scared of testimonies. And I've witnessed some of them. I've heard about people getting caught up in the tree by the bull and everything else, and I've heard a lot of testimonies that probably didn't have a lot to do with God. But at the same time, I believe that testimonies are nothing more than giving thanks to God for what God has done in your life. When you testify to somebody about what God has done in your life, you are giving thanks. You're thanking God openly. Scripture tells us that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We need to be thankful. We need to continue to share our thanksgiving with others. Now, so what reasons do you come up with to avoid giving thanks to God? Do you say, well, I'm a self-made man. Everything I did because I just worked hard for it. Or maybe you say, well, it was just a coincidence. What this situation that suddenly turned around, it was just a coincidence. Or I wasn't really that sick. Have you ever prayed and when you got healed, you got thinking, well, did God heal me, or was I just not that sick? Or how about this one? Maybe my hard work really paid off. You know, somebody once said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. I buy into that to a certain degree, but I will tell you that God is still the one who blesses us. He's the one who pours out His blessing upon us. And some people just think I'm lucky. They just go through life thinking, well, I'm just a lucky man. I'm just a lucky woman. I'm just a lucky person. God had nothing to do with it. I'm just lucky. The fact is that without God's goodness and blessing in our lives, we would be nothing, we would have nothing, and we would know nothing. We're blessed well beyond our worth or our value. We're treated like family by God. And you know the kind of family that loves you even though they know all the bad stuff about you. I'm not talking about the kind of family that shows up only on Thanksgiving just to argue about something. And you can fill in the blanks there. Let me give you five reasons today that you need to thank God. All that up to this point, somewhat preliminary. I want to give you five reasons why you should thank God. First off, you need to thank God because you are loved. You are loved. You say, well, I don't feel loved. Well, love's not a feeling. Come on. Too many people think that love is a feeling. You can fall in love and you can fall out of love, and it's just one of those things. When I perform wedding ceremonies, I usually say something to the lines of this. These two chose not to fall into love. They chose to walk into it with their eyes wide open. Because the fact of the matter is, that's how love operates in our lives. It's something that we choose to be a part of. You can willfully choose to love someone. And you may have to, it may take a while because you may think, well, I don't like them. I didn't say you had to like them to love them. You just have to willfully choose to love these people. Scripture tells us in John 3:16, perhaps the most famous verse of all, for God so loved the world, that includes all of us, that whoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You are loved, whether you know it or not, whether you think about it or not, whether you feel it or not, you are loved. Secondly, you are forgiven. You have the ability to be forgiven. Here's what I love about God. Your failures don't have to define you, and they don't have to be your final word. Your failures don't have to be your final word. Romans 4:7 says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. I'm thankful that when I mess up, God can and will forgive me, and He will put my sins completely as far as the east is from the west. He'll put them out of sight. It's wonderful to have a God that not only loves me, but that forgives me. Some of us came from homes. You may have come from a home where you knew you were loved, but you weren't so sure if you were forgiven. I've witnessed it in families, in the dynamics. There's that one thing that keeps coming back up. Maybe every holiday it shows up again, where somebody reminds you of that failure, that thing that just, it's that black elephant in the room, you know. It's just that, you are the black sheep of the family. It's that one thing that you just feel regret over. And you know you're loved. They say they love you. They even treat you like that most of the time, but you're not sure that forgiveness is part of it. I want you to know God forgives you. He loves you, and He forgives you. Third thing, you are blessed. You are blessed. You actually have more than you realize you do. Here's the problem with blessing in our lives. We are so good at comparing ourselves to each other, aren't we? We look at what we don't have. We look at that very thing that we thought we needed that would make us happy. I got thinking about this today too. How many of you, when you look at your life, are happier now than you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago? Just because we have more stuff doesn't make us more happy. Some of us can look at it and say our life is going the way we feel like God has ordained it for it to, but not all of us are happier now that we have more stuff than when we had less stuff. Why? Because it's not the stuff that makes us happy. That's not where true joy comes from. Joy is found in the journey. If you can't be happy in the season that you're in right now, you're going to have a sad life when you get to the destination that you're going to, because joy comes from living a life that is following God's plan. John 10:10 says it like this: I have come, Jesus said, that you may have life and life more abundantly. Abundant life. Isn't that wonderful? One translation says, and that you may have life to the full. I want a full life. I want a life that when I look back, I can say that God was with me in every season of my life. When I had a lot, when I had a little, when I was struggling and when I wasn't struggling. I want a life where I can see God's hand in provision all the way around. I love it that I have all the history that I had growing up. I grew up in a poor pastor's home, and I know what it's like to want stuff and to need stuff and really struggle at times, being content. But I look back on it now, and I realize God was just preparing me, because He knew there were going to be times that I was not going to get everything that I thought I needed, and He needed to help me learn to be content even in those times, and I'm grateful for it. Fourth thing you need to know and thank God for is that you're wanted. You are wanted. Your name's on a poster somewhere. God chose you, God likes you, and God has a plan for you. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that. I love that God chose each one of us. He has a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us enough that He actually thought about us? We're not an accident. He didn't go, oh, well, there's some more humans down there. I guess I better come up with something for Him to do. He had a plan for you. He thought about you. He's organized. He's not last minute. He loves you and He cares about you. He even likes you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, He doesn't necessarily like everything you do. I didn't like everything my kids did. Still don't. And they're grown. Having grandbabies, I like that. That's good. That's good. They're still not sure about my name, but I will get past that. He wanted you. He chose you. He likes you. The last thing, back to he wants you, he wanted you. As I was preparing this message, I felt like there was going to be somebody here in the service today that needed to hear that. Maybe your whole life you have just felt like you were a mistake, that you just weren't ever wanted, that you weren't really ever loved. I don't know who you are. I'm not going to call you out, but I believe some of you, there's somebody here today that just has that feeling. They've spent their life, you've spent your life just wondering why you were born, why you ever came into the world. It would have been better ever, the whole world would have been better if you had not been born. I want you to know it's not true. God has a plan for you. He wanted you. He loves you. Finally, I felt like there was somebody that needed to hear this too. You are not alone. God sent the Holy Spirit so that you wouldn't have to be alone. When Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to take my place. Romans 5:5 says it like this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that you didn't have to go through life alone. I'm thankful that I'm never alone. The Holy Spirit has come into my life to help me, to guide me, to lead me, to give me wisdom when I need it. One of the terms that you hear when they talk about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. That's the one who comes along beside us. And it's not somebody who is like Jiminy Cricket. Remember the whole Pinocchio thing, you know, and he was the conscience. It's similar to that, but he's not just your conscience. He is your guide. He comforts you when you need it. He will give you wisdom when you need it. The Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is important to you, and it's important for you to know that the Holy Spirit has been given to you so that you are not alone. You will never be alone. When you pray and you speak to God, He will indeed bless your life, and He will bless your life with His presence. In closing, let me tell you, we all live blessed lives. In comparison with so much of the world, we're at the top of the food chain, are we not? If you have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, some money in your bank account, and food to eat, you have more than millions of people in the world today. That's enough to be thankful for. That's enough to be grateful for. And if that's not enough for you, we live in Texas. So what else is there, right? Have you properly thanked God for your blessings? I know we just went through Thanksgiving. I know this is kind of the end of the Thanksgiving weekend, but have you properly taken time, aside from the turkey and aside from all the desserts and aside from the family time and Black Friday and everything that goes with this traditional holiday, have you taken time just to stop and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the blessing in my life? Today I'm going to lead us, and we're going to take some time just in this moment to thank God for some things, the very things that I have spoken about. So why don't you bow your head right now? I'm going to lead us, but I want you to speak to God, and I want you to thank God. I'm just going to tell you what we're going to thank God for, and then I want you just to pray out loud. Here's the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't care if we pray out loud, very loud or very softly. He hears all of us, and He can hear us all at the same time. So I want you to thank Him. I want us all to take a moment right now and thank God for what we have and what we don't have. You see, we have many blessings, but there's a lot of diseases out there that we don't have. Aren't you thankful you don't have those? Hallelujah. Am I right? So take just this moment. Just speak to the Lord. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Thank you for that great opportunity that we had this week to spend time with families. We got to do some things that we wanted to do this week. I thank you, Father, that we woke up in a warm bed today. I thank you, Lord, that we had the opportunity to eat something today. We had the opportunity, Lord, to give today. We had the opportunity to be here with the family of God today. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we were blessed beyond measure today. There were so many great opportunities for us this week. Lord, we had some fun this week, and you are the reason for all of it. You gave us the power to enjoy a life. You gave us abundant life, and we just got to enjoy some of that this week. Lord, I thank you for all of the sickness that is not in our body today. I thank you that cancer is not in my body today. I thank you that leukemia is not in my body today. I thank you that heart disease is not in my body today. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That which the enemy has tried to bring into my life, Lord, I thank you that you are able to heal my body. But I thank you that right now we don't have sickness in us, Lord. There's so many sicknesses that are out there, and I thank you that I don't have those in my body today. I'm grateful for it, Lord. I bless you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank him right now for choosing me and planning a wonderful future for me. Can you just thank him right now for that? Lord, thank you that you chose me. Even before I knew who you were, you knew who I was. Before I had come up with any ideas of my own, you already had a plan for me. You already knew what you had in store for me. You had already thought about it. You had already thought about me, Lord. You had already come up with a master plan. I'm not an accident. Thank you for the wonderful plan that you have for me. Can we just thank him right now for forgiveness? Thank you, Jesus. You forgave us. Lord, we've all sinned. Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up, God. We have all had moments in our life when we didn't do things the right way. We've all had moments in our life when we took a right instead of a left. And Lord, we've all had moments when we should have relied on you more, but we messed up and we have sinned. I thank you that your grace is sufficient. There's nothing short of amazing. And right now, Lord, we want you to know that we are thankful that you have provided forgiveness for each one of us in here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me even before I could forgive myself. I bless you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to thank him for not leaving you alone. I want you to thank him for the Holy Spirit in your life right now. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for residing here among us. Thank you for indwelling in us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we have the privilege to speak to you. We have the privilege to be directed by you, comforted by you, guided by you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move among us today. We are so thankful for you. We are so grateful for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.